If you're the star-sprangled man with a plan, that plan better be to listen to the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel's TV series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Episode 3, The Star-Spangled Man. And I am that man. I'm Jerry Bennett.
He is a star-spangled man, yes. And I am Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us yet again as we talk about the latest episode for the Marvel show. Jerry mentioned The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or TFATWS, as it's abbreviated. We're going to talk about the latest episode, spoil the heck out of it. So if you don't want to get spoiled, don't listen to us yet. But then come back and listen to us, because we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to say, and you want to hear that stuff, I'm assuming. Thank you for all of you who are joining us for the first time, or those of you who are now loyal, constant listeners. We love it. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. I feel like our base keeps growing and growing every week because people are either enjoying what we're doing here, or people hate us and they hate listening to us. So either way, thank you for participating in this. And if you want to participate more, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast, because that's always a good place to go for news we post. And if you want to have a conversation with us or talk to us or share things with us, we always, always appreciate it. Before we dive into this episode, we're going to touch on a little bit of the comic news, comic TV, movie, cinematic news that came out. And the big thing is...
I'm still taking in the TFATWS that you just did.
Yeah, so it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, I get it, but I think that is actually the word thwish, which is the sound that the shield makes. So you're blowing my mind.
Or is that the sound that Falcon makes when he's flying?
Or when Winter Soldier has a tummy come
up. No, not his tum-tum. His tum-tum.
My vibranium tummy.
So we're going to talk about Suicide Squad 2.
It's the Suicide Squad versus Suicide Squad. Stupid naming conventions. Some executive in a room somewhere said, this will be better. So stupid. If your movie has to, when it's released, in consequent re-talking about it, has to have the date afterwards. Oh, we're talking about Suicide Squad. The 2021 or the... it's like, then you've messed up.
You mean Ghostbusters? Let's be honest, that's exactly what you're talking
exactly.
about.
But there's a plethora of terrible movies and TV shows. Oh, you're talking about V? Is that the 1981 or the 2009?
Well, the Ghostbusters one was worse because you don't say the year. You go, oh, the female Ghostbusters? Like, okay. That's how you differentiate those two Ghostbusters.
Some people
label
it as the not funny Ghostbusters, which I say doesn't narrow it enough.
Oh,
Ghostbusters 2. What a disappointment.
Oh, Jerry, you've been a bad monkey.
Wow. So, Suicide Squad trailer came out. Again, teaser trailer, whatever you want to say. It had all of the markings of the James Gunn look of the last two Guardians of the Galaxy, or the only two Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And it looked excitingly fun. Did you like the look of it?
Oh, I think it looks great. King Shark is, like, I'm in it for King Shark alone just because it's such a unique-looking character, unique experience. Two things. One, I had some trouble hearing some of the dialogue in it. I don't know about you, but there were moments, especially in the beginning when I think Deadshot or Bloodsport's coming down the rope. What does he say?
I believe he goes, well, that's just condescending. Or something like that. He's like, because she's that's being condescending.
Yeah. Okay,
that's condescending said, that's with great. His accent.
I didn't watch it. I was gonna watch it again with subtitles, and I just didn't. But listen, that's okay.
Nothing is gonna ever be
You're
as
Christopher
bad.
Christopher Nolan hate. Yeah.
No. Of the Mortal Kombat trailer that just came out, and when you think of Mortal Kombat, it has, other than maybe the music, the most famous line is, get over here! And in this version of the movie, the trailer ends with, get over here! It's like, what did you just say? Go over here. It's like, get out of here. Get out of here. Watch that trailer. I'm looked online trying to see if anybody will comment, and no one's commenting. It's like, he's not saying get over here. He's going, go over here. Because I know the actor is Japanese, and he's not a native-speaking English person. And so he's speaking with an accent, but come on. It's the line.
But I understood the line. Versus I didn't know what...
I was so disappointed. I understand what you're saying about
this. The other thing that really stood out to me, and I think you brought this up when we watched the trailer, was most of these people are going to die.
Well, yes, they will, but I don't know if it'll be everybody we assume it is. And because as Joel is saying in the trailer, even though it's a team of about 14 characters, or at cast, I should say, because they're not all a team, because a certain Doctor Who, I don't believe, is part of the team. I think it's somebody that they came across. He plays the Thinker. I think he's going to be one that comes across. In the storyline, there's a bunch of characters that don't show up other than barely showing up, either in a small image or as a full face shot. I think that some of them are going to go really fast, and some of them are done as a joke. And I've heard thoughts of maybe it's looked like there's two teams, two different teams. But again, I saw a little, remember that they came out a month or two ago with some behind the scenes footage. And if we were worrying about all these characters dying, the character that I would worry about the most that I want is I want Captain Boomerang to stick around, because that character is integral to the books. And he's one of the four actors coming back. And we don't see him much in this at all, except for just a brief moment. But I do remember that the behind the scenes footage showed him. So I was like, okay, good. So he's going to be someplace else in this.
I think we're pretty certain that John Cena is not going to die, because they're supposed to be doing a spinoff with him.
They're filming the HBO Max show or getting ready to film it.
Unless that's a prequel. I have a feeling John Cena is going to be okay.
Yes. So that's something that's out that we're excited about, and that's actually coming out in August.
Continuing the DCEU.
No.
DCEMU? DCEMU?
Get out of here.
DCFU, whatever. It's continuing that world, so hopefully they...
Well, you heard our thoughts. If you listen to our Justice League Zack Snyder cut version that we just put out, that was the previous one. And now this
Zack Snyder actually edited our podcast. It was really nice of him.
Yes, but our podcast, unfortunately, is in black and white now. By the way, that black and white version, the Justice's Gray version, remember initially they talked about there's going to be alternate stuff in there, but it's the same runtime.
I heard the alternate stuff was the Joker scene at the end.
Yeah, I watched that scene. Nothing different.
You sure you're just someone just to make a black and white and post it?
I did watch it on a black and white TV now that I think about it. And also I went back in time to get a black and white TV. So
no. Jerry's also a dog too, so there.
I'm a man with a plan. And speaking of the Star Spangled Man episode 2. This is 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It's been a while, this conversation.
It's episode 14, Jerry. Where have you been?
Episode 2. Joel, what did you think of this episode?
Oh, it's fantastic. This is good stuff. I actually had more thoughts. More bigger thoughts, more grandiose thoughts about the story and where it's going the second time watching it versus the first time. I was just sitting down and enjoying the ride that this is. What about you?
I love this episode. This episode was even better than the first one. I was very happy. As I said, we were watching this afterwards. I told Joel, I said, I'm so happy we're not in a bank somewhere where Falcon's trying to go for a loan. I don't want to follow that storyline, even though I know we'll come back to it. And I'm not the only one who has a problem with that storyline. I've listened to stuff online and different podcasts, and it's like, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense other than you want to have a black man trying to get a loan and trying to relate to times, which is a valid and important, you know, device, a storytelling device. But it doesn't work because the Falcon, he can even throw away the fact that he can make one call to Pepper Potts and he'd have his money. You could say that he's too proud to get that. Fine. I don't believe it. Fine. Is he doing all of these side book missions for the government with no money? Because He's getting a ton of money. That makes no sense.
And on top of that.
No sense. They have not written a line.
I could be wrong with this, but I believe in real life someone has put together a GoFundMe to raise the money for Falcon and his sister to get a boat. And like they're raising the money in real life or something like that as a joke.
Again,
and,
I like that the show
to donate or something.
The show brought it up as in like, hey, where's your money at? I get that, but they didn't answer the question, and they have not come up with a reason. And it's not just me; it's a lot of people have that question.
If you're going to talk about race, which the show is done now, 2 episodes, and I'm okay with the conversation. That one doesn't feel as real as it does in this episode.
No, he's too big. He's too big of a superstar
character. In this episode, at least it feel like it didn't feel forced. It felt like, okay, this is where we're at. The conversation with the kid, are you a black kid? Like, that's a funny conversation. Like, because we've talked about that in general.
And then the cops coming up to him.
And it is they consciously in that scene make it a diverse neighborhood because the onlookers are multi-ethnic. So there's white, black, there's all sorts of people watching out. So this neighborhood is diverse, but they still wanted to show. But at least it felt quick and natural and in our times versus the loan thing. The loan thing did not feel right at
all. So I won't keep going on about the loan thing. I let it go, but I just wanted to. I was, once I heard another podcast and I read another article where people are going, hang on a second. I thought, okay, so this isn't being answered yet, or will never be answered. But regardless, this was a great episode. Really enjoyed it. Action-packed. I did keep in my mind what you said last week is stuck in my head about, like, are they going to have a whole bunch of scenarios where, you know, it's like, wow, that was really written. So if a character who has wings, it's his storyline. Like that first mission, like they're going to send him on. Like he doesn't get a lot of missions where he has to go, we have to go to this underwater base.
Yeah, or it's inside a building. A one-story building.
Yeah, and again, I get that. That's a premise, you know, like Ant-Man movies are not going to have situations where he needs to just walk across the desert. He's going to be like, I got to get someplace really small or I got to get someplace really big.
And that's funny.
Yeah. Before I forget, the last episode, there was a question. If you remember when Sam was watching the footage of the Flag Smashers and there's a bigger guy with longer hair thrown around and
I was totally going to mention this. We got this wrong. We were talking about this as if this was Carly and that was not.
Well, there was also the question, and I read again someplace else I'd read about this, was Sam goes, do you think that's, and he goes, no, and he wasn't sure like who he was referencing there and he doesn't answer mm-hmm. and you actually mentioned that. I think people had speculated or even thought that maybe that was him because he knows super soldiers and this guy wearing a mask, he's got long hair. Sam was thinking, maybe that's Bucky. Maybe Bucky's programming has gone bad again. Maybe that's him.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought could work, except for the fact that when he sees Bucky in this episode, he's like, hey, Buck, and he's got his short hair. So there was no hint of that. If that was the case in that first episode, they did not play it or follow it up in this episode.
Yeah, two thoughts. One, we might get an answer to that in a later episode. Or two, he also could have been like, is that who we think? Like, it's another super soldier. He could have just thought super soldier in general. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but we did get it wrong last week. We thought that was actually Carly when it was not.
Yeah, and
that
there's
one of the Flag Smashers, which I'll talk about.
And shortly. The last thing I would say before we get into the details of this episode is this show, this TV series was delayed, was messed up because of COVID shooting wise. They had to reschedule and reshoot some stuff and all of that. And there is speculation that because of the time when all this was going down, it was also during the George Floyd murder and the racial uprising that had happened regarding that in the national conversation or the world conversation revolving that. So there is speculation that some of the scripting and some of the situations may have been modified or changed or added to address that in the context of the
show.
That
makes a lot of sense.
Now, there's no official statement on any of that yet. There was talk initially that the show, when it was written, they kind of rewrote it maybe before they shot it. And I don't know if that's true or if there's mod in there, but there may be some of those things that are we'll see as the show goes on, because they do shoot these things close to linear by episode. And we'll see if that comes into play or not.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't mind the conversation being in the show. I mean, there's a lot of conversations in this show about, I think the Flag Smashers.
There's people talking here,
I think the Flag Smashers in general as an idea is a fascinating conversation. And I think Captain America, John Walker in the show is a fascinating conversation, which we're going to have here.
Yeah, I guess my question is the Flag Smashers, I've watched it, you know, and I'm trying to figure out, do they explain what they're doing wrong? Like the first episode we see them, they broke some windows, had a crowdfunding thing, and they had some bags of some stuff. Who hired, you know, the government, the U.S. government, the government agencies, these, you know, Sam or, you know, Sam's buddy, whose name has escaped me right now, who's funding them to bring these guys in for crimes against humanity?
Well, no, John mentions later on, he talks about how having people who want anarchy and chaos,
yeah, I get that,
is bad for all the world.
So who in the world is funding?
Whoever has the resources.
So they're saying, listen, go in there and bring these people to our court of law, so we're going to charge them with the crime in Munich, even though we're the United States.
Well, when they go to the...
What's the crime? What are they doing? They don't know what they're doing.
I don't know if there's been no terrorist acts.
Exactly.
Per se.
So but they do mention
that they do mention that they're freedom fighters. And obviously, if we go, you know...
If you're freedom fighters, you're taking ISIS, which country?
ISIS is freedom fighters, right? Yeah. In their eyes. But the government goes, you know, you're not allowed to do that. The United States government.
And well, because once they do that, once they hold a gun at somebody in another country or in any country, then that is the crime. You're pointing a gun. You're shooting a gun. You're doing something. Where these guys, I want to know what – they have not explained yet enough to say – this is, I know what they want to do. They want a world without borders, and they want to get back to that. And in this episode, they do make a statement when they're all together at the end. He's like, after tomorrow, there's no going back. So I have a feeling that after tomorrow or in the next episode, we'll see them do something that they could then go, now we need to arrest these people because they've done A, B, or C.
Well, they could have gotten, there could be chatter on the web, the internet, the dark web, where they're like the government or a clandestine organization is following up on this.
Yes.
And they're following up to try to prevent something from happening. I also, they do make a mention, one of the Flag Smashers, he talks about how they have, the people who were in power before the blip are now back in power. I don't know if they're referring to the Avengers in the situation or if they're referring to, because we
Avengers
don't know.
Avengers
were
always in power because they never left, remember?
Yeah, that's true. So we don't know their motivation yet. We don't know their motivation at all.
I'm hoping that gets
and
played out.
I want to talk about that when we get near the end of this episode here. I have a point that I want to bring up. So let's get into the episode. Let's get moving here, and let's see where we end up. Directed by Kerry Skoglund again, who's going to be directing, I believe, all these episodes. Just wanted to bring that up. This episode starts off where we get to actually meet John Walker without his mask on. He's in his old high school. He gets introduced on Good Morning America. When's the last time you watched Good Morning America, Jerry?
Well, no, I don't really watch that, but it's dark outside. So is this Good Morning? Is this like 4 a.m. in the morning?
I don't know what time Good Morning America starts.
Well, it's got the morning. Do you understand my question? Mm-hmm. It's like, is this a segment they're filming for the next day on Good Morning America? Well, because it looks like it's nighttime out there.
Well, what I find, like, when's the last time a news story broke in the morning? Like, when he, like,
No, I that's think not a news story. It's an interview.
Oh, he's on his press tour.
Yeah, exactly. He's the symbol, just like the original Cap. So mm-hmm. we, and I get that, you know, John Walker is, we see him at his locker, his old high school locker. We get to meet his wife. It's like they really, you know, from last episode where you see Sam's look of disgust when we see him, and we're like, oh my gosh, who is this no-chinned guy playing Captain America? Well, it's Wyatt Russell, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's child, who we've only ever seen with a beard. And so you realize, like, oh, yeah, that's why he wears a beard. But he shows up, and he's completely clean-shaven here, which keep your eyes on his facial hair, because it's like you can see he's just trying to grow that beard as fast as possible again as this episode goes on. But I also looked at him, and there's certain angles in this locker room scene where he's talking, especially his profile, and he's talking. I'm like, oh, my gosh, why is this guy not playing young Snake Plissken? He could do it. He could easily do it.
Yeah, so in the locker room, we get introduced to Olivia Walker, like Jerry mentioned, played by Gabriel Binloss. I'm sorry, Gabriella.
Okay, just so clear, a friend podcast, Tim Curtis, did call out a reference that you're terrible. Thank you, Tim.
Last week, I did go through and get pronunciations of certain names. So a lot of those names, some of those names were bad, some of those names were spot on. You try some of these names. They are hard. She was in the TV show Doom Patrol. She's in an episode of Ozark.
I believe that's Doom Patrol.
Yeah, right. We also get introduced to Lamar Hoskins, which Jerry will explain who that is in a second. It's played by, I want to point this
Here
out,
we go,
too.
Baby.
You excited?
I don't know what you're going to say. I want to hear the spelling. I want to hear the pronunciation.
Well, his first name is Clay. I don't know how to really say his last name. It is Bennett.
No, that's not it.
Clay Bennett?
Clay Bennett!
Yeah, that's his last name. We have another Bennett in the MCU.
I don't think his first name is Clay. I think you mispronounced it.
It's C-L-E with a...
Accent aigu?
Sure, that could be what that is. But we have another Bennett in this MCU. Clay, come on the show. Tell me if I'm pronouncing your name right.
Yeah, well, how'd that work with Chloe Bennett?
Chloe only had one T in her name, so she was Bennett. This is Bennett. He's a Bennett. He was in the TV show Man in a High Castle for a bunch of episodes, The Tick, Homeland, Heroes Reborn. He was on the TV show Flashpoint, which has nothing to do with DC. It was a TV show called Flashpoint.
Oh, yeah, he was in, now I'm remembering from Man in a High Castle. Yeah, he was great in that.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be a big character in this show, Lamar Hoskins. Who is Lamar Hoskins, Jerry?
Battlestar, last name Galactica. He is the Bucky version for John Walker that was introduced in the 80s. I don't know where he's at now.
The Bucky or the Falcon?
No, the Bucky.
And I'm just saying, like...
When the character was introduced in the comic books, he was standing right next to Captain America's John Walker when he took over because Steve Rogers said, I'm out! And so all of a sudden Battlestar was there and he's dressed just like Bucky, even has the domino mask. And the funny thing about this, and I don't, this is a small piece of trivia. I remember hearing this at the time too, was initially he was going to be Bucky in Captain America. And apparently someone had called or pointed out that Bucky or Buck is
a racial slur.
Is a racial slur for black people that, you know, and we don't follow that up at all. I'm not, you know, something that's, I don't know how deep or how far back that goes, but initially, as soon as they heard that, the writers of the show, like, nope, he's called Battlestar, and they came up with that name right there.
You know, I've never heard that as being a race. The only thing I've ever heard with that is when it's like, what's good, young buck?
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I don't know if that's taking over that phrase to make it non.
And also, here's the other thing. If it really is overpowering, it would have been called out and eliminated from this conversation back when the Captain America movie came out. So It may definitely have origins in that. And I don't know if that's something I want to, you know, if it's there, it's there. But it's not something that history has brought forward enough. It's kind of stuck in a time period, I think.
Just that we don't know. I mean, I didn't know. Maybe we're just ignorant too. I mean, that could
that's a separate issue.
Not taught this, and maybe this is something we shouldn't be saying.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I don't. I think the character name of Bucky. It's kind of
Bucky.
Like
the character name of Bucky. Yes, but the slur of Buck. I mean, it's just something I'm not familiar with. But that doesn't mean it's not a slur. So. Just because we're not familiar with it, maybe, you know, it is something that's like.
But it's also one of those words that's like exists because hunters kill deer, they're bucks. So it's like one of the, you know, it's not a word that is completely 100% associated with this thing. It has like, oh no, this word exists. You know, money is, you know, how much is a buck?
That was my kid argument when I was a young kid. I'd go, damn, Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
I can get away with it because it's something else.
Exactly. Pussy Willow. Titmouse.
this scene's interesting here because the scene is, you know, it's very a part of the show, but it's also very meta. And it's really an interesting conversation because John Walker is nervous about if the American people will like him. And this also comes down to, like, will the viewing population of Falcon and the Winter Soldier like John Walker? It's really weird right now watching this show because what is there not to like about it?
Well, that's what's the brilliant of this. And they've talked about this. Kevin Feige's said, we're not going to create villains that are mustache twirling bad guys. Everybody's going to be great. And I'm not saying John Walker is going to be a villain, but these characters, you first think you're going to be like, oh, who's this guy replacing? And then this entire scene is designed for you to go like, well, there's his wife that he met as a child. There's black friend who he's been friends with in childhood, and he's saying all things, and he's doing all the right things.
Or just friend.
I know you were going to do that. I knew that. Well,
that's from the episode, so it's okay to just go, or his friend.
Well, I'm saying that and pointing out all the ways they're covering things so they can like say like, well, listen, he's got a friend, you know, of color, so that helps, you know, that picture, and he's got a young wife that he's loyal to, and he's got, you know, so they wrote all these things into it, which is great. You know, there's an interesting line where he says, you can't punch your way out of problems. Is that referencing his temper or anger? We'll find out.
Well, two things I want to bring up real quick here. One, there is a line, obviously, in the Captain America First Avenger where it's like, Erskine didn't want to make a super soldier. It wasn't about being a good soldier. It was about having a good heart, right? Mm-hmm. And the way they showed that in that movie was when Steve jumped onto a grenade, right? Yes. They even bring that up. He's like, oh, I've done that 4 times. Like, oh, okay, you're a good person. Obviously, he had the reinforced helmet that he did it with, so I guess it's maybe not as good. But they really do leave you in a lurch in this where you don't know if this is supposed to be a bad guy, a bad character. The actor, obviously, Wyatt Russell, he's come out on Twitter and goes, you know, he's like, I don't care that everyone who watches the MCU hates me.
He goes, disliked.
As long as they don't hate me in real life, which I don't think anyone does. And if you do, you're an asshole, and you shouldn't be allowed to procreate. That's what I say to that. Like, this is an actor. He's playing a part. He's probably a really wonderful human being in real life. Yeah. And you know what? He might be a wonderful character in this show. We don't know where that's going yet. Yeah. I've heard some people speculate that, like, when we see the fight scenes later on, is Captain America, does he have the super soldier serum in him? Does John Walker have that? And I'm like, no, watch the fight. He clearly is not be able to hold it. He can fight, but he can't fight like mano a mano, punch for punch. Like, no, he gets his arm twisted. He gets thrown off. Like, he doesn't have the super soldier serum in him. Or if he is and they're hiding it, he's doing an amazing job of hiding the super soldier serum in him. So I want to debunk that.
They're going to cover that because clearly we're seeing him, and later in the trailers we've seen Sam throw that shield around. And at this point, as a viewer of this Marvel Universe, the idea of someone being able to work with that shield as well as Cap has done it is put in our heads that it has to be with the super soldier serum. But now if this guy can do it and if Sam Wilson can do it, that speaks more to the fact that that vibranium shield is designed in a way that if you're really good and well-trained, anybody could theoretically do it. And that changes that a little bit. And that's why people question if he has a super soldier serum in him. I did like the marching band music here at the opening. I thought it was great. And that's also where we hear our Star-Spangled Man with the plan being played in there, which I thought was wonderful. And I also like the fact that, you know, Captain America's got a sidearm with him. He's got a pistol, which we did see in World War II, Cap using a pistol in a war situation. But in general, the character tends to stay away from that kind of stuff.
Also, the woman doing the interview is Sarah Haynes, who's actually, that's who she is. She's a real person. She was on The View for a ton of episodes. So that's, you know, she, that's who that is. I did not know that because I don't follow The View. So,
So did you know that Wyatt Russell actually tried out for Captain America back in 2010?
I did not.
Yes. And it was, he said it was, he was too young and he was all the other stuff, but he did try out for the role. So it's kind of funny that he's now kind of playing the role.
I mean, that's exciting. So yeah, so the piece of music you mentioned was a remix, obviously, of a song written by Alan Menken. And Alan Menken is famous for writing tons of Disney animated movie songs and theater world songs and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that was cool. We get the opening Marvel montage. Oh, also one more thing. Before he goes out to the interview, we get the opening Marvel montage. So I just want to point that out. When he's out there, we get to see some Captain America toys. Are those going to be available? Or is that the only one that was ever made? Crazy. We get some footage, that footage of John, you know, throwing the shield, which was awesome, but also, you know, on missions and stuff like that. So that was cool to see. Nice little background. That scene ends. Bucky was watching it the whole time, just in his empty apartment, just
on the floor, maybe sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that last week.
Well, it was mentioned in regards to Sam, because that was something Sam. But yeah, we did mention that. Let me ask you this. How much time has gone by for him from since Sam gave up the shield to now this Captain America has it? And were they already planning Captain America for 5 years, you know, or not, I shouldn't say 5 years, but since Cap disappeared at the end of Endgame to where we are in the storyline, were the government training him and then they just gave him the shield to finish it off?
I don't think the government was training him. I think he's always been in the military.
Training
doing
him things. As Captain America.
I don't think they were training him as Captain America.
Okay, so he just has the suit on, ready to go. Okay.
But I don't think he needed, maybe throwing the shield, he's been training with that, but it was which means that some time has passed between when Sam gave up the shield. I think he was the most decorated person, and they were like, we want to highlight this person, and we're going to make him Captain America, John Walker, and that's how this happened. We'll find out more, because I think there's a bigger story going on here.
Yeah, when he's in the interview, he actually tells the person you were talking about, where he says he has guts, which is what compares it with Captain America. And going back to what you were saying about Captain America, the first Avenger, that's kind of something that Tommy Lee Jones was saying right before that grenade scene. He's like, he has to have guts. And of course, it turns out that the only one who had guts in that scene were Captain America. But it's really, you know, it was Steve Rogers. But the thing about Steve Rogers is guts is something he has, but it's more about his heart. And I think it's a play that maybe when he's saying, I have guts, I'm not sure if that's supposed to be a positive or pointing out a negative.
I don't know. When Tommy Lee Jones says, you got guts, kid, to Will Smith, I felt that. So.
You're talking about in the movie Coal Miner's Daughter with him?
Yes, okay, exactly.
I want to make sure.
Exactly. Oh, wow. I realized as I said it, I was like, God, is that too obscure to talk about Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones and no one's going to get Men in Black? I don't know.
And then I did Coal Miner's Daughter with Sissy Spacek, where Tommy Lee Jones was
Speaking of obscure, awesome. So yeah, Bucky and Sam finally meet up, have their little banter back and forth, which was fun.
But this is what you want. That's important banter there, because he's the line. Well, first off, the fact that we see these Cap is Back posters are great. The publicity marketing team in that world is going full throttle. Boom, it's all ready to go. Which that's why I question, like, how much time do they have?
Well, they mentioned he's been on this rollout tour for a while during the interview.
Yeah, that's what I want to know what that meant. The fact that Bucky says, you had no right to give up that shield. And Sam responds like, listen, here with your extended life, you're not here to tell me about my rights. And that was a powerful piece of dialogue.
We also get the powerful piece of dialogue about the big three, androids, aliens, and wizards, which I love.
Just we talked about this conversation. Yeah,
Bringing up Doctor Strange as a wizard, but he's a sorcerer. which is great. We go to Munich, Germany, because that's where they're headed to. So Bucky joins Sam to, because they're going to find out where the flag smashers are. Get a great scene where Bucky jumps from the plane about 200 feet up from without a chute.
Because he couldn't do the chute. We do hear the line of dialogue here when my question about who the flag smashers are is the conversation that our two heroes say is that they think they're smuggling weapons. And that could be, like, if they get these guys and they find weapons, then they can go like, aha, now we can, you know, yeah, take you to the United Nations, whatever. But we find out that they aren't doing that. They're actually smuggling vaccines and medicine. But there's also a nice reference here to the White Wolf. Joel, who's the White Wolf?
The White Panther, I believe.
And then what does Bucky say?
Oh, he's the White Wolf, not
he goes,
the White
Panther. He goes, yeah, the White Wolf. And that's when he goes, like, what? Yeah.
And he's like, you're the Black Falcon. And he's like, why am I Black Falcon?
No!
I'm black. And then Bucky goes, why am I the White Wolf? Because I'm white. And
what
they
are
have
you
a great
talking
conversation.
About?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with
but
you.
But you're not acknowledging.
White Wolf was his name at the end, after the end credits. The kids in Wakanda gave him the name White Wolf.
Yes, which is a comic book character that's different. But the fact that they brought it up here again, it's strange. Are they going to turn the Winter Soldier into that name down the road? I don't know.
The White Wolf. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast before, but there was the conversation where they had a bunch of Avengers actors on a Tonight Show or something like that. I know I told you this story, but they were talking. Thor, Chris Hemsworth was talking about, you know, how they made this great movie, and then Black Panther comes out and, like, it's this, you know, makes all this money and gets nominated for an Academy Award and all that. And the actor plays Bucky, Sebastian Stan, was there, and he's like, yeah, I told my mom I'm in an Academy Award nominated film in Black Panther. And then he gets a call from her. She's like, I sat through the movie, I didn't see you in it. He's like, did you stay till after the credits? She's like, no. And he's like, that's where I'm at, you missed it. His mom doesn't even know to stay after the credits for a Marvel movie. I thought that was really funny. They're having their good little moment here where they're talking, trying to figure out how many flag smashers there are, who are all extremely strong. So now we know there's a bunch of strong characters in this.
So during this action scene, we see Bucky take off on a run.
I was just going to say this.
Yeah. Well,
you stopped me and now you're taking the line.
Well, no, the point I wanted to mention here was there's a difference here is we're kind of seeing him run, but it's like it's clearly a digital effect. Mm-hmm. And in the past, especially in Civil War, when we see Cap and Black Panther running really fast, the way they did a lot of that was practical, and they would have them running on the road, but they had them running on treadmills, and they were pulling these treadmills along, and then they would digitally take them out. So it really, I remember like that, and obviously in Infinity War, we see these sequence when they're running where you and I are both like, oh my God, it's perfect. It's not like, you know, mm-hmm. Benny Hill running.
They call that the magic carpet. That was what they were running on. That's what
is that what it's called?
They call it the magic carpet, yeah.
Oh, but they didn't use that in here that I can
see.
Well,
in Infinity War, we get an overhead shot of them running where the two of them take off before they start beating everybody to the perimeter dome.
If they did that digitally, they did that perfectly. This was done at, if that's 100%, this was at 90%. It was still really slick, but the second time I viewed it, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, know. I also enjoyed,
it was so fast.
I enjoyed that we see that Sam can be as fast as them with his wings, so that, like, evens it out, because his wings take hold and he flies super fast after them. I thought that was pretty cool. We questioned this at first, but obviously it has an answer. Bucky runs past the first truck and goes to the second truck, because they think there might be a hostage in there, and he opens up the door. The truck behind, like, doesn't, like, honk its horn or anything. They can clearly see that Bucky has jumped into this truck.
But they're not concerned, because while that's happening, two of those guys in that truck are getting on the top.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Because he runs into Carly Morgenthau, who knocks him out of the truck, and he goes flying backwards into the other truck.
A Red Wing gets destroyed.
Red Wing gets destroyed. I want to point this out. While he's inside the truck, he mentions it looks like they're stealing vaccines.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier, medicine vaccines. Mm-hmm.
But could that be something else? Is that a disguise? They're not stealing vaccines. Maybe they're stealing something like super soldier serum to hand out to the rest of the world, because they want to make more superheroes so that way it evens the playing field.
I don't know, man, because they already talk about, like, they've got eight. They got, you know, you were thrown out where there's eight super soldiers running loose. So the fact that they're, I don't know. We'll find out, because, again, I think it has to do with the fact that who's actually chasing after these guys, and which we find out towards the end of the episode. That has more to do with it.
Flag Smashers, by the way, it's Carly, looks like to be the leader, or at least mm-hmm. supposed to be the Flag Smasher from the comic books. Dovich, Gigi, Didi, Lennox, Diego, Mateus, and Nico are their names. We'll see how long they all last.
I wish they all had last names that you would have had to pronounce.
They do not have last names. I enjoy the fact there's a Gigi and a Didi. and a goo-goo and a gaga. No, it's good stuff.
The best part, this fight, I did think about this whole fight is another one of those things where it's like, well, this is really designed. So if you're a guy in wings, the fight's not just staying on the ground. It has to be moving along. So I thought that really helps when your powers are the Falcon and you have to fly. I thought that was really good.
This was a good fight.
I love when Bucky caught the shield. Oh, that was my favorite. Awesome.
And I didn't realize
this. The look on his face was fantastic.
So Bucky is being restrained by two of the Flag Smashers. I think one of the reasons we don't see Bucky doing too much fighting is because his second rule is to not hurt anyone. And he actually mentions that later on. What's the second rule? So I'm wondering, he's holding back.
That's a really good, it could be.
He's holding back here. Obviously, he gets knocked off and he's holding on. And that tire is right by his head.
But at the same time, he wanted to go barreling in the last time because there was only two guys. So, you know, what was he going to do? He's going in to fight.
Mm-hmm. And then we get that great scene where John and Hoskins, they join the fight, which I thought was awesome. It was awesome. I think John is fantastic to watch. I know we don't have Captain America anymore, but we got Captain America. He's doing all the same stuff.
He used his gun. He shot one of these guys.
Yeah.
And you'll notice John Walker's whiskers are starting to show up all of a sudden.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah.
So they finish their fight. Great fight. They end. They have this long walking scene here. I love that John knows about the big three. Mm-hmm. That was really funny, the fact that that's a common thing. We get introduced to the GRC, which is the Global Repatriation Council.
Correct.
Which gets people health insurance or gets people who were blipped away, brings them back, helps them get back with Social Security, things like that. I know Jerry loves this stuff.
No, this is great. This whole thing, they tracked Red Wing and they actually say he's government property. I'm like, yes, who's paying? Who's in charge?
The Flag Smashers later mention the GRC and they go, the GRC are more worried about the people who were blipped back than the people who actually had to stay during the blip. And I thought that was fascinating. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, what about the people who had to stay, who had to suffer everything and change? And this is a common theme with WandaVision, because we have in WandaVision you have one of the heads of SWORD, but he had a big thing about, you know, he was around after the blip and he had to deal with all this stuff and he lost people and his trauma. And like, this is like the Flag Smashers. They have trauma they had to live through the blip. And now all of a sudden it's like everyone else is back. And
everything is to blame because Tony Stark didn't want his daughter to disappear. He could have easily said, make everything go back 5 years ago, but keep my daughter around.
Oh, that's a great point.
All that is because they have a time thing. It could have just gone back and everything could have been back to normal and they could have done something different. That's not what happened. Tony Stark is the villain.
Hopefully Tony Stark's daughter comes and saves the world somehow. Then you can say,
oh, no, okay, because she's a made-up character from the shows. I don't like that.
You don't like made-up characters from the shows?
Not for the most part, no.
I'm okay with that.
I like the fact that Marvel has, you know, a million characters.
Yes.
Like, why make up a new one?
The Flag Smashers, they go to their hidden base, base in quotes, I guess. It's a location set up by supporters of the cause. We get to see that Carly receives a text message here saying that you took what was mine. I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to find you.
That's a big mystery. That's a big mystery.
It's the power broker is what we're supposed to think.
We go to Baltimore, Maryland. And this is where we get Sam and Bucky walking through the streets here, having a conversation. This is where the Black Falcon came up and all that was good. We get introduced to first Elijah Bradley.
You went past a point there that I thought was, you know, obviously there's the part where they talk about after tomorrow there's no going back. But the conversation they had before they go to Isaiah was when he was telling Sam, hey, we should take the shield back. That's when Sam goes, hey, remember last time we stole it? Sharon became an enemy of the state and Steve and I were outlaws for 2 years. So this is our first mention of Sharon Carter, who we haven't seen on the show, but we know she's coming. So
Bucky then goes, I'm going to introduce you to someone that it's about time you meet. And so they go to the Baltimore. First, we get to meet Elijah Bradley, who answers the door, who's played. Well, that can't be right. I just realized I have Elijah Bradley and then it's played by
the Patriot.
I'm sorry, no, it's Eli Bradley played by Elijah Richardson. That's it. Elijah Richardson, he hasn't done too much yet. He was in a couple episodes of Mr. Robot.
And that particular character does have a comic background where he is a character called the Patriot who kind of leads the Young Avengers. We'll see if they utilize that because we really barely saw his face in here.
And actually, in the closed captioning, the subtitles of this, they call him Boy. Like, he's not actually named. I don't know about the credits, but I got this off of IMDb. And then we get introduced to Isaiah Bradley, who Jerry will explain who that is here in a second with the comic book connections. He's played by Carl Lumbly, who's been doing stuff for a very long time. He was in the TV show Altered Carbon, which was with Anthony Mackie. He was in the movie Dr. Sleep. He's done a bunch of Justice League DC movies.
He's the voice of Martian Manhunter. Yeah.
His first,
he's played the Martian Manhunters, another Martian, on the Supergirl show, which is even a show that I'm not watching. I thought that was kind of clever.
His first movie was Escape from Alcatraz, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. He also, Jerry,
he had a TV series where he was a superhero.
Jerry,
do you remember
he
that?
Was also in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Yes, he was. He's the alien. What is a truck? It's a great.
So who you?
What was
gotta...
what was the TV series he did where he was a superhero in the late in middle 90s before he did Alias and everything?
Was it The Cape?
No, it wasn't The Cape. No, it was one of the syndicated shows where he was. It's like Nightman, but it wasn't Nightman. It was something else. He had another show. I think
Alias?
it was a green costume. No, Alias was in the 2000s, and that was the J.J. Abrams TV series, mm-hmm. which was great.
Early 90s, you're saying, huh?
Mid-90s. The
Superman animated series?
I'm going to find it.
He was in How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
He was Stella.
Batman and Mr. Freeze, Sub-Zero, Buffalo Soldiers. The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest?
No, it wasn't a voice. It was...
Chicago
Mantis! Hulk? Mantis. 1994. M.A.N.T.I.S. Dr. Miles Hawkins. Yep. Yes, do you remember that show? It was
No.
We never watched. I mean, it was like, I know at the time we saw the pilot, you know, like the first episode. Like,
well, there was a TV movie in 94, and then they made a TV series out of it. I've never heard, to be honest, I don't think I've ever
Mantis.
Heard of Mantis.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Is it better than The Cape?
Oh, yes. Yes. The Cape.
bad superhero television shows that existed.
Just an ordinary, another ordinary family or whatever, yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. I watched all those episodes,
yes,
too.
You did.
I watched all The Cape.
So Isaiah Bradley.
I watched all The Tick. Isaiah Bradley. Who is Isaiah Bradley? You got excited when you saw him.
I did. I got all excited about this. Now, obviously, Bucky says to tell him, hey, it's the guy from the bar in Gwang who's out here. And that's in Korea. And in the TV series here, we find out that Isaiah Bradley was a soldier who was experimented on with the super soldier formula, and he was around during the Korean War, 1951, in fact. And in the comic books, he's actually a precursor to Steve Rogers for World War II. They're not going to do that in this series because they've already set up Dr. Erskine being such a noble person in the first Captain America movie that they're not going to say that they've experimented on other people beforehand. And, you know, particularly it's in reference also to the Tuskegee atrocities that were done to black soldiers back in the day in the real life, where they did all these terrible experiments on them without their knowledge. And that's what in the comics, they basically did that, where this guy was the first quote unquote Captain America, but eventually he gets, you know, locked up and experimented on, and he gets, you know, it's a tragic, terrible storyline. Now it's not an original storyline from back when they created Captain America. It was something that was retroactively added to the storyline in the 2000s, and now they've decided to do it again, but they've said, okay, we're going to do it, but we're going to put it in the 50s, so it's not before Cap, so this way we can say whoever did this are bad people who were in the government after Cap was frozen in ice, and those bad people just happen to be Hydra. Probably we're going to find out that it's actually Zola.
Maybe. I doubt that's going to be what happens. But maybe. You might be right.
Because he was in charge of all that
stuff.
Well,
it could be what's his name from S.H.I.E.L.D. The other bad guy that we got to see.
Robert
Redford? S.H.I.E.L.D. No. From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Who wore the glasses. He was. He ended up dissecting Zhao Ying.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be him. It's
going to
be Zola.
We find out in this, though, that Isaiah was actually put in jail for 30 years.
Running tests, taking my blood. Your people weren't done with me, he said, which basically is referencing to Hydra.
Yeah, because Bucky was part of Hydra. So, yeah, he's pissed. And
he also
I want to see how much we're going to see of him this season.
The thing
if he's just a one and done.
If you listen to what his grandson says, you caught him on a good day kind of a thing, is the character has dementia. Or it's implied that. That's one of the reasons why he's not in jail, is because they let him out from this reason. So I think when Bucky mentioned the fact that he was from the bar in Gwang, that's where Isaiah was like, oh, you know, he kind of triggered a memory.
I want to see if that arm grew back.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. We go to
the cop sequence.
Sam and Bucky. Yep, they come out. The cops come. We talked about this a little bit, but the cops end up arresting Bucky. I like that they put handcuffs on him.
But Bucky explained that. He goes, hey, listen, I didn't tell anybody about him because he's already been through enough.
Yeah.
But why is Bucky arrested?
because he missed his scheduled his therapy session, which is like missing your parole officer. Yeah, so I totally understand this, because in reality, like, do you want Bucky just walking around free? I understand that he was brainwashed. I totally get that.
Even though he helped save the world.
And that's why the president pardoned him. But the idea that, like, at any moment, could he just snap and go back to being the world's deadliest assassin and going around murdering, I'm assuming, thousands of people? You know, this is their way of dealing with it, which I thought was interesting. I just thought it was funny that they put handcuffs on
him. Yeah, but he's not having him in the next scene where he's walking down the hallway.
Yeah, like, it's not that he has a vibranium arm. It's just,
are we still in Baltimore here?
We are.
So the Dr. Rayner just shows up in Baltimore?
Not only Dr. Rayner, but John.
John, Walker. I can understand. He can access any kind of, you know,
he can fly there.
Helicopter, but, yeah, whatever,
the way
get there.
The way I calculated John was that they're still following.
Yeah, but
Sam,
how did Dr. Rayner get there? Where were they at before?
Well, it's Baltimore, Maryland. They were.
I guess it's all within. Was Bucky in D.C.?
I think he was in D.C. So that makes sense.
Okay, then that works. It works.
So yeah, Dr. Rayner meets Sam. John gets Bucky out.
No, Walker bails out Bucky.
Yeah, that's what I said. John gets Bucky out.
Oh, that's
out.
True. You did say that, and I was focusing on the Walker. Well, there you go. I just listened. I heard it, and as
John
I was saying,
John Walker then goes down to Texas.
You're gonna go right past the session. I guess there wasn't. Yeah.
No, he becomes a ranger down in Texas. You're going to just not even understand what I was going with there.
Oh, I get it. I just kind of let it go.
No, you weren't. You weren't listening.
Yeah,
you weren't listening, Jerry.
No,
speaking of listening, now Sam and Bucky, they have a therapy session together. Which
it's condition
very
of his release
funny.
Session. I wonder if this is also to reference the fact that this is his last one.
Yes.
I think it is the last one. I think that's why Sam kind of makes the statement, I'm going to squash this at the end of this, basically saying, we're not going to deal with this anymore in the show.
John also mentions, he's like, he's not going to be on a regular schedule. He's too important. So
who are you talking about? Freaky Magoo over there?
So this is a very funny scene. It's very funny. Watching it the second time, I laughed just as much. There is the moment, though, the moment I loved, and then the moment I don't get. Bucky getting upset, and he's like, if Steve was wrong about you, Sam, being the next Captain mm-hmm. America, then he could have been wrong about me. And the emotion there, it hits. Like,
that
was it's
fantastic.
Such a great line. But that only highlights, I'm sitting there going, why the hell is Sam so mad at Bucky? I don't get
yeah,
Sam's
anger. Yeah, I was waiting for
Bucky.
Sam to kind of have a little step back there, and he didn't. You know,
he
it's kind of like he's like, "Hey,
like,
do you not hear
you,
that this
Bucky.
Guy? This guy is in. He's internal. He's in such conflict because of this. You know,
I understand that Sam.
Maybe
might
it's
be,
too soon yet. Maybe they need to have more back and forth. Still,
Sam is pissed about not knowing about Isaiah. Sam is pissed about being confronted by the cops.
Sam is just pissed.
He is pissed. But his logic for being angry at Bucky, and I get that he's like you don't understand like. This I thought I was doing good. You and Steve would never understand this. And it's like, why are you mad at Bucky? I don't understand where your motivation comes from. And if anyone knows, like if you have a good example, Jerry, or if anyone out there listening can tell me why Sam is so mad at Bucky.
Not mad in general, but why Bucky is your
Why
saying.
Bucky? Yeah. What did Bucky do to Sam? Outside of everything that happened when he was brainwashed, like maybe that's why Sam would make a good Captain America, because Steve's like, I still believe Bucky's in there. He's still a good person, and Steve Rogers was right. And Sam's like, oh, I would have never believed him, right? Like, maybe Steve was wrong about Sam. All right, we go to Bratislava, Slovakia.
Well, unless you want
to talk about their conversation in the alley.
Well, they barely meet. I just want to point out that at this point when they meet up with them, Walker basically has a full beard at this point.
Stay out of my way.
Yeah, that's important though, because it's like basically their argument is, listen, we're not going to team up because we're free agents. So again, Sam's not dismissing him outright. He's kind of coming up with a reason, like, listen, we're free agents, so we're going to go do this. Not we're saying, and Bucky's just saying, F you, we're not working with you. But right there, this was the line. As soon as John, out of the whole episode, John's been painted as like, what's wrong? And then he goes, stay the hell out of my way. It's like, dun, 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 I could be bad. That's exactly what that line was designed for.
Imagine Steve Rogers saying that, though. Like, oh, that makes sense. All right, if you're not going to help me, just stay the hell out of my way. Like, okay, Steve Rogers could say that, and like, it would make sense. So I don't know what they're going to, it's fascinating. I don't know what they're going to do with this character.
I told you to stay the hell out of my way. So Slovakia, they're loading a plane. We hear the power broker men are showing up. And so one of the soldiers, which one? I'm sure it's Gigi or Didi.
Matthias.
He decides to do some kind of a useless sacrifice.
Incredibly useless. He pushed over the thing.
Which
I'm
is
like,
fine.
I'm like, you could have just pushed that over. And then ran back to the plane. What are you doing?
Whatever.
They just didn't show it well enough.
Yeah.
So who's the power broker, though? Like, in the comics, who is that?
The power broker is an individual who actually, for money, will give, obviously, mostly supervillains powers through various means over the time. Power broker in this, we're just learning. I don't know who's going to be playing it, how it's going to be represented as an organization. We see a gentleman kind of running up there, and he's the one who talks to his phone afterward and saying they got away. And I think this is also the person who we're supposed to think was on the text that Carly got earlier in the show.
Yes. I believe also with the power broker, his formulas and things like that always kind of come with a consequence, or they don't always work. So there's like a lot of, I believe, body dysmorphia and things like that.
It can be.
So we'll see what they end up doing with that. So we go back to Sam and Bucky. They're talking about what they need to do. And then Bucky's like, it's about Hydra. So we should go talk to the person who knows all about Hydra right now.
We're going to go and see then, Zemo.
And yeah, right as they say Zemo, the music kicks in. This Russian opera, this classical piece of music. It was great.
Here.
And then my question then becomes, because we see Zemo, I think there's an Easter egg in there where his cell is the same cell number as Princess Leia in the movie. It's fine. I believe, my question though to you, Jerry, are we going to find out that Zemo is the mastermind behind everything here?
I don't know. I mean,
and you and I are being led
to believe through the trailers and everything, and obviously that Zemo is going to be involved in this. And that's led me to believe that he's in jail right now. So your scenario, the one you just said, could be one, which is really convoluted and complex. The other one could be if somehow he gets out and does his own separate thing, then consequently, if he gets out because Bucky and Sam go to see him, then they're kind of like, oh, geez, if you didn't go talk to him, he might not have been stirred. But who knows? He could be the one who sent the text. He could be the one who's doing that. It's one of those ones where obviously we've created a villain who is very smart, intelligent, and plays the long game and everything like that in the long con. So I don't know. I don't know how he's going to tie into this unless he is the mastermind or working with or manipulating, you know, the power broker. We'll find out. I'm excited to find out, though.
I am too, and I think that's, you know, we talked about, you know, obviously WandaVision is a mystery show. This was, we talked about being an action show or a covert show. There's a big mystery. What is Zemo? What is Zemo doing?
Why is Zemo? I'll do you one further.
He's not.
Who drinks a Zemo?
It's not just the fact that Zemo is a villain. He's like one of Captain America's main villains, so it's not...
Yes and no, he is. I also put him in... I put him
genius,
as actually...
Right?
He's between him and Nick Fury, because he was kind of a Nick Fury villain, too,
so
in a lot of ways.
So he's a super genius, right? That's
yeah.
his
Oh, yeah. Oh, no,
ability.
Yeah. I mean, he created... Well, see, there was a helmet Zemo in World War II, and the Zemo here is actually the son of that Zemo, because the other one died in World War II, which is actually... the reason he's got the mask on his face is it's actually... glued like the super epoxy back in the day, so it's stuck to his face. It was one of those comic thing origins, like, what?
Whoops.
Like get some scissors.
Oh no, gorilla glue to the face.
It really was.
That could never happen in real life.
No, my goodness, keeping it real. But that brings us to the end of this episode. Did your thoughts change at all, or any?
No, I'm even more, because as I was watching it the second time, I was bringing in Zemo and what he means to this overarching story. What he, you know. Is he just a Hannibal Lecter and they're just bringing him in because he's a villain? Or is he the mastermind behind all of this? Or what they're going to do with him? I think that makes the show even more exciting to me, because it means they have they're laying little things here and there that you can kind of follow, and maybe we're seeing and maybe we're not. And I like that. I think that's really a lot of fun. So this episode's even better now that we've talked about it more and where the show is going.
Yeah, and I love also, this was another great moment here is... This was a perfect example of why you don't kill your villains off. It's because this show got, you know, we're going to see Zemo. It's like, bam, you're like, yes, you know, you can have new villains, you can create new villains, and villains can still have resonance and they can be punished and everything. But it helps answer the question, well, why don't you just Batman kill the Joker? because when the Joker comes back, it's that much more exciting. When you're watching Doctor Who and the Daleks or the Master comes in, you're like, that's the excitement. It's the return. Logically, they should kill these villains off and be done with them. But the fact that you don't is because you get great moments where you get to reintroduce them, and that's awesome.
And we're going to get more of that with like the Abomination. You know, that he's supposed to come back in She-Hulk, I believe. So yes. We're going to get some more of those. You do need to get rid of some of them sometimes, though, because otherwise it's Super Friends where no one dies, or G.I. Joe where no character dies ever, and it's have a little bit.
I disagree. Look at Batman. You don't kill those guys off.
No, they kill off Tony Stark, and that's an amazing moment.
Yeah, we'll see.
And Black Widow, and, you know, Quicksilver, you wouldn't have WandaVision doing what they're doing if they didn't kill off Quicksilver.
No, he comes back then, and then she gets to have a happy reunion episode. Well, soap operas do it all the time.
Because soap operas are
now off the air, aren't they?
Because soap operas are exactly what I want with my MCU.
That's all this is soap operas. It's just talking and evil twins and spaceships and everything. It's great.
What soap operas are you watching with spaceships?
There's a show called Soap, based on a soap opera. It had a puppet, devil baby, spaceship. Stay with me here. It's one of those things. All right, guys. Thank you so much for enjoying us and indulging our conversation. If you have opinions or thoughts or anything like that, please get in touch with us so we can hear what you think as we go forward. Coming up next will be episode 3 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or as Joel calls it, the best.
The fat WS, yes.
No.
The fat widescreen. Or T-fat widescreen.
There it is. All right, guys. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.